Sorry, that was item four. We are moving on to item five.
Item five, from the Director of County Economic Development, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational update on workforce development. At your October meeting, this item was moved to the December cycle, and this item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Teague Whaley-Smith, go ahead.
Madam Chairwoman and Supervisors, I would like to give you this information because I think it's really critical information about the economic development planning that we are doing and the policy that you are creating and implementing, that the administration is implementing. So some of you have already seen this, so if this is still too detailed information for the consensus of the committee, please give me the, you know, steal first base sign or something, and I'll speed it up or slow it down or whatever else the case may be. But it's really critical information related to workforce development. I have previously sent a link to this presentation and would be happy to do so again so you have access to it. But I think it's imperative, and really as a department, as we are looking at implementing policy, we want to make sure that it's consistent with the mission of Milwaukee County, which is to provide high-quality, responsive services that enhance self-sufficiency, personal safety, economic opportunity, and quality of life for all its people. And we really take, in our department, to heart not only the economic opportunity, but of course the self-sufficiency and quality of life component to that very seriously. Of course, those are not quality of life and self-sufficiency opportunity is not really equally spread throughout Milwaukee County. And this is an issue that we're all aware of, but it's important that we understand the data behind it. This is a report done by UWM and published by the Journal a couple years ago, I think in 2011, and you can see that the unemployment rate for African-American males in Milwaukee County has dropped from an employment rate of 73.4% in 1970 to an employment rate of 44.7% throughout the several decades. It's dropped to that point, which means we have a 55.3% unemployment rate for African-American males. For Hispanic males, we have a 35% issue. For white males, we have a 23% issue. So, of course, we have an issue throughout there, and we need to continue to address overall economic development. But within that, we need to make some more targeted investments to help people within Milwaukee County. Of course, that statistics puts us on a very bad list, which is the bottom five of working-age black male employment rates, next to Chicago, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Detroit. Of course, employment rates are only one measure of that. You can have employment rates and still have separate poverty rates. So if you see and you look at that line of African-American males versus females, although the unemployment rate may be higher for African-American males, the poverty rate is actually higher for females. And the reason for that is that often females are the head of household and have a larger group to support. Of course, it has a bigger fiscal impact on municipalities like Milwaukee County and other safety net provisions. So, for example, the caseload in Milwaukee County of the food share program, of course, this is run by the state now, has increased dramatically since the Great Recession. And that has a huge fiscal impact when people are not employed and are relying on income maintenance services. You can also see the spike in W-2 participation as well. This has other poverty indicators, one of which is incarceration rates. You can see the cumulative count of incarceration headed in the wrong direction again. And again, that puts us on a very bad list. This time, we're on the top of that bad list, which we are among the 10 worst states for incarceration of African-American men. And, of course, that's directly related to poverty circumstances and unemployment and really both directions, cause and effect and effect and cause. So we have an employment problem. It's no surprise to anyone, but it's important that we talk about it. So when we talk about approaches, we can address it. So we talked about the universe of potential things that you can do to impact economic development. And we looked at, you guys probably remember the game Plinko, right, from Price is Right. You put a chip in and there's, no, you don't remember that?
I don't watch The Price is
Right. Great American cultural institution, yeah. The Price is Right. So essentially, Plinko was a game where you had circled chips, and they would bounce around, and eventually you would get to the bottom. That's sort of the analogy here, is that you have all of these circles that represent potential economic development impact and programming that we could pursue, and how do we evaluate what the best option is when looking at that. Look at housing subsidies, which we'll get to in a minute. We can continue to do planning and coordinating. Infrastructure, of course, has a huge impact on economic development. You can increase regulation sort of demand economic development. You can decrease regulation. You can focus on geographic strategies. There are all kinds of different strategies. So the matrix we use to evaluate economic development programming is twofold. And really, the program that you had just recommended for approval falls into the same sort of matrix. So the first is, what will make us most competitive in getting jobs? And then the second question is, what will maximize the economic opportunity for low-income residents? And you can, so on this scale, things on the top of the chart tend to make us more competitive. Things to the right on the chart have a better possibility for economic opportunity for low-income residents. And so if you look at these different quadrants, increased regulation tends to make us less competitive, whereas a decrease in regulation tends to makes us more competitive. But the real sweet spot are things that make us more competitive in getting economic development and also can help target low-skilled, low-income workers. And it really falls down to two issues. One is training to provide people the skill set that they need, and the other is employment subsidies. If you provide a subsidy to an employer to hire someone, they are more likely to hire them. So we know that that has a direct impact as well. The second matrix, of course, is impact versus cost. So things like decreasing regulation can have a very high impact and a very low cost, but we saw on the other chart that they might not have as high of income on low-skilled workers. And then there's a whole plethora of things that can have a high impact but also have a very high cost: housing subsidies, infrastructure, employment subsidies. And so in this category, it's the upper left-hand quadrant that you really want to focus on, is and there you see an overlap, and the overlap is training. Training has a high impact, low cost, has a high economic competitiveness factor. Companies want to locate where people are more skilled, and also has the potential to impact low-skilled workers. We can do all the Chairwoman, do you want me to take questions as we're going through?
Let's finish this, because this is fairly sophisticated and intense. And committee members, just write your questions down, and we'll give you plenty of time to ask them. But I don't want to keep interrupting the presentation. Okay? Thank you.
So we can do our own sort of analysis all we want about how to influence these things, and it's important we look beyond our four walls as a county and what are our partners saying about economic development, because we want to implement something at a partnership level. Again, if we try to do things by ourselves, they're not as efficient, they're not as impactful. We want to be part of the larger conversation and fill our niche. So one thing important to address right away is that there's sort of a policy argument about, is there a skills gap or not? And you have some reports saying that there's a huge skills gap. Then you have a local study through UWM saying that the skills gap is a myth. And I want to make sure you understand that that does not apply. Where you fall on that argument does not apply to the problem we're trying to address. This is a report from Mark Levine that he tries to illustrate there's a skills gap myth. But what he's looking at is national data and Wisconsin data to illustrate that there may not be a skills gap when you look at macroeconomics. But when the same author, Mark Levine, was looking at how to impact unemployment rates in concentrated communities, his number two recommendation was to address the skills gap. So there's a difference between the macro issue and conversation of skills gap, but everybody agrees that to address poverty, concentrated poverty in particular communities throughout Milwaukee County, that skills gap and providing training is the route that we want to take. This policy perspective carries forward through other research. We talked about incarceration rates before. Again, that one of the top recommendations of the researchers looking on that are, again, to address employment readiness, i.e. skills training. When looking at other populations, this is the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Again, they focus on workforce training, create a modern career-focused adult training in fields that are responsive to these low-income communities. We have the state chiming in on it with their report about focusing on skills. There's also another announcement by the state about impacting disabled workers and state resources dedicated to that. But we can talk about workforce training in the abstract. We need to get down to the details of what does this actually mean. Well, the Public Policy Forum, which is a nonpartisan group that you are familiar with that really produces phenomenal data and analysis, in their last report about economic development policy, is that sector-based strategies show considerable promise, but not all sectors are alike in their relevance to Milwaukee's unemployed population. So they talk about efforts focused on the healthcare sector, and that if you look at the underlined, appears to be finding greater success in training and placing workers in the manufacturing sector. It will be important to determine, however, whether that effort can be enhanced and sustained at a larger scale. They highlight one of our strongest partners for economic development, which is WRTP Big Step, and their success in the the industry sectors, again, of manufacturing and construction. So you start to get this concept of sectors, different economic sectors, and how you attach workforce to each of those sectors so you maximize the investment that you're making. There are other sectors that they mention. Construction continues to be a high priority sector, and making an investment there. They also mention healthcare as a sector as well. This I'll focus on this report a little in more detail later, but again, this concept of sector-based intermediaries, essentially what that means is that you have an organization that identifies employers that are actively hiring, what the training is needed specifically for that employer, and then matching people with lower skill sets to get them the training they need to directly compete for those jobs. Nationwide, this has been a very successive strategy of illustrating that over a 24-month period, earnings of those individuals went up by more than 29%, and they were the employment rates went up by 10% for that target population. I'll skip over some of this. It can apply to the medical sector. There's research that indicates that it's a return on investment of over 146% in the medical sector. And, of course, people are looking at this nationally and internationally as a demonstrated project. So, again, training through sector-based intermediaries is one of our strongest investments that we can make to make this happen. Back to the mission statement, again, self-sufficiency, economic opportunity. What data do we have that shows that this works? I won't cover all of this because essentially you guys have been seeing the data on a quarterly basis. You can expect, I expect WRTP to hit their jobs placed of over 500 individuals, but particularly they are able to serve populations that we are trying to target. So what can we do from a county perspective? Really, it looks at redefining what the county's role is related to workforce investment. Because right now, we're only looking at ourselves as a landowner. We're trying to take all of our land and cram every economic development thing that we can on that land, and then we're trying to use the land sales to support economic development. And eventually, those two are going to be at a friction point. And so what are the other things that we can do as a county to look at economic development? One is we can look at being a funder. What sectors do the county have a connection to? We clearly have a connection to the construction sector, to the economic development we're trying to do, but also through the the county highway system and our own buildings. But there are other sectors. We are, heavily, through our land investments, involved in the medical sector, and the innovation sector. If you look at all of the things that are going on at the Milwaukee Regional Medical Complex, the Research Park, Innovation Campus, we also, for example, maintain a fleet of vehicles. And if you look at municipalities around the country, they're converting those vehicles into natural gas. Should we explore that? We're going to need a workforce that it has the technical abilities to be able to help convert those vehicles. And we want to make sure that we're using that opportunity to target unemployment in very specific areas. We could also look at placement. So from a county perspective, we have a customer base. Yes, the taxpayer is one of our customer bases, but if you look at our other customer bases, veteran services, disability services, child support services, we provide a whole set of customer services. We can play a role in placing those individuals into these sector-based programs to make sure that we're meeting our mission in that way. Trainer. There are excellent examples of municipalities with the training expertise that they have providing a larger training program. An example is urban forestry in the city of Milwaukee. The urban forestry training and, you know, climbing large ladders and scaling up utility poles, that has an implication larger than just the city of Milwaukee Forestry. So they partnered to provide a program so that training could be applied other places as well. Employer, what skills do our own employees need to have as an incumbent workforce that need to be improved? So, for example, we had a pilot project with the parks and WRTP to do skid steer training. What are the other things throughout other departments that we have a need for to upgrade the skill set of our own workforce? And then be an efficiency agent. We have an opportunity at the county because we are able to go cross industrial sectors, cross municipal boundaries. We are an arm of the state, and so we have connections through state departments. What else can we do to be a champion of workforce development? So, again, being a landowner is only the tip of the iceberg. One of the things we need to do to be that efficiency agent and be a champion of workforce development for our county clients is we need to integrate what we're doing into the larger partnership. And the way to do that is through the National Workforce Funding Alliance and their sector partners, together with the local entity here, the Milwaukee Area Workforce Funding Alliance, that provides several benefits, including leveraging other funds to get to the customers that we care about, a monitoring system that has been standardized and can be applied across different grant streams, and also the ability to look at employment data, to look at the highway of opportunity, to be able to place things on a more flexible basis where there are economic growth sectors. So just quickly, the National Fund for Workforce Solutions has served over 42,000 individuals, receiving national funds of $41 million and leveraging over $192 million throughout different localities. And I'll jump to the local group here, the Workforce Funding Alliance here, has served over 1,500 individuals annually, trained incumbents through their partners, and also trained job seekers. And this is why it's important. This is a highway of opportunity. Right now, we're invested only in the construction sector and the manufacturing sector. And if you look at those sectors, they do represent a portion. You know, that's construction. The purple area, I think, represents manufacturing. But, for example, that big pink wedge that's there, that's healthcare. We are not investing in the healthcare sector right now, and that has a huge potential for growth. And we can partner with the Workforce Funder Alliance and our other partners to make that happen. So you can see that they've been focusing on the automotive industry, construction, manufacturing, renewable energies, healthcare, and utility work. So they cover a broader range of sectors. This is a video. We don't have the sound hooked up here, but they just won an award, a Mandy Award, a Milwaukee Area Neighborhood Development Initiative Award, for bringing together this group of partners. So this is the group we would become a part of through the Workforce Funding Alliance. It includes the healthcare agencies, United Way, City of Milwaukee, Harley-Davidson, MMSD. The pool of money there is much larger than we're able to do on an individual basis, and we can bring our voice to that coalition. The Workforce Funding Alliance then invests in all of these partners. And so you'll see one of our strongest partners, WRTP Big Step, there, but also the Foundation of Automobile and Truck Dealers. They, for example, have an intermediary training-based program where they're training people on this compressed natural gas conversion. You look at other partners on that list, including the work that the YWCA is doing, United Way, MATC, the Healthcare Alliance, Junior Achievement. It's a broader set of partners that are able to sort of get to that diversity component that we were discussing earlier. The benefit of joining them is really twofold. The first is money on the way in. Our money can be used for national matching funds to bring in more resources to Milwaukee to fund this initiative. We would be part of what are called pooled resources to be able to put out an RFP that includes more than just our own money, but includes other leveraged money to get out to the implementers that we want to focus on. And then data coming back in. Right now we've set up, I've used the analogy with some of you, of we've set up sort of a unicorn data system. It's beautiful, right? Like a unicorn would be beautiful, but it's an anomaly. It's not meeting the larger infrastructure that's set up to monitor workforce development. And we're spending a lot of money to do it. So if we can spend less money on our own unicorn modeling and be part of a system that's already has the infrastructure, already has the staff to do this, we will get better data, better accountability, and again, be able to be that larger champion for workforce development on behalf of our residents, our taxpayers, but also the customers we serve throughout the county. So that's the concept. We're asking for an investment this year of $400,000. It will go to the Workforce Funding Alliance to focus on sector-based intermediaries that have a high growth potential. We certainly anticipate that construction, healthcare, and green technology will be part of the mix of that larger growth, but ultimately it's this team of professionals that determines that highway of opportunity and how our the sectors that are most appropriate for growth.
And just to be clear, this is number six on the agenda. We're really kind of talking about five and six at the same time here. I think what I'd like to do is I'll just go around the committee. We've had the presentation. Hopefully you've put down your questions. And let's start with Supervisor Rainey, and I'll just give everyone an opportunity if you have questions to ask them.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Teague apparently didn't catch my signal. I tried to throw the stolen base signal at you about 20 minutes ago. But in all seriousness, I hope every member of this committee shares in the embarrassment and disgust to see people here in Wisconsin, Milwaukee County, enduring these hardships. I hope everyone is motivated to work on these issues as much as I am. In your research, did you explore any cities in the country that may have been in a similar position as ours and was able to turn this trend around?
Chairman and Supervisor, that's a broader question that I would love the opportunity to prepare more detail about that, because it really falls into that Plinko set of requirements. And the base measure of economic opportunity is a gross domestic product. How much value are we creating in a community divided by the number of residents? And so GDP is really the measure you want to look at, because it affects unemployment rates, it affects poverty, it affects all of these other issues. And there's really two levels, is what is good economic development planning for increasing GDP? And that largely means investing in things like infrastructure, which we have jointly done, through our transit system, but also through our park system, et cetera, et cetera, and decreasing regulation. Those are the two things that really drive GDP so that we can increase the overall value. And then you get to the question of how you make sure that that value is shared by all individuals. And the data would support that the way that you do that is by increasing the skill set of those jobs. So there are examples that they've been able to turn the corner. Absolutely. You look at communities like Indianapolis that have been able to turn the corner by decreasing regulation, increasing GDP, investing in infrastructure. You look at groups that may not have seen the same decline, but their investment in transit and other quality of life issues in communities. We have a wonderful model here because people are coming to Milwaukee to look at the Workforce Funding Alliance and the sector-based intermediaries like WRTP Big Step. that are being used as part of a national conversation. They, WRTP Big Step just won a national award for their work in being a sector-based intermediary in construction, and we have a real opportunity to do that. One of the things I plan to do in one of your 2014 cycles is update you on the economic development planning that is happening on a regional basis, on a local basis, so that we can talk more about how we fit into the larger policy picture.
Sure.
And your Plinko analogy, it eerily reminded me of a trickle-down effect, so to speak, kind of like Reaganomics. Is that a fair? Is that fair to characterize it as such? Because that didn't work.
Yeah, no, totally opposite. I'll have to change the analysis.
Yeah.
What I was intending to say is that we need a filter. Mm-hmm. We need a filter to be able to say where should we be investing our time and money. And when you're evaluating that filter, you want to look at high impact for low-income individuals, because we have a bigger problem than other cities when it comes to low-skilled, low-income individuals. So you have to look at it through that lens. But you also have to look at it that lens of not impacting the larger GDP of Milwaukee, right? So those are two balancing factors. You also have to look at cost and impact. You know, we don't have, for example, at the county level, the ability to do a tax incremental district or other financing that are left to our municipal partners. So where do we fit in our role? We have to do things that are higher impact and lower cost, because we don't have the budget related to economic development that other partners have, because we're focusing on core infrastructure and core safety net services. And so that's the intent, is that lens. It's not a lens of invest in big corporations in the hopes that they hire, you know, low-skilled workers. It's in fact the opposite. It's a partnership between the low-skilled workers and the big companies and other hirers, because workforce training works for both constituencies. We now have a broader people that are willing to work with us on these issues, from the state, the feds, foundations, nonprofits, et cetera. We can be part of a team rather than going it alone. So it's not, maybe I'll cycle it up way or sideways or something, but it's not intended to have that impact.
And early on in your charts, you had a assessment that said that deregulation, it leads to business. Was that your assessment?
Yeah, if you look at the GDP of different municipalities, the three primary drivers are infrastructure and regulation, and the third one is escaping me at the moment. But for example, you look at the GDP of an area like Houston. Oh, natural resources is the other. So infrastructure, natural resources, and regulation. So you look at the GDP of areas like Houston that have intentional deregulation. They also have natural resources that we don't. Their GDP can be, you know, almost twice as high. Maybe that's an exaggeration. 50 to 70% higher than communities like Milwaukee. And you look at similar investments that others have made in infrastructure, innovation. It has that impact as well.
So according to your assessment, policies such as residency requirements or goals, that's a deterrent to business here in Milwaukee County?
I don't think a residency requirement is, because you have strong partners. It's a little bit of convincing to get people to go from the norm. But things like DBE and residency shouldn't have a real cost implication, because you're simply just saying we want you to hire this worker instead of this worker, et cetera, et cetera. There's not a cost implication. The one that obviously would, you know, the elephant in the room is living wage. I mean, living wage would increase the cost of economic development projects. We've done some projections on that, and it's a very simple proposition that we've known for the last 500 years, that if you decrease the pool of buyers, you decrease the demand, that decreases price. The question is, does it increase price by 1% or 50%? And that's a more complicated calculation. So the analogy there is, there's something that you can do that keeps us competitive and drives GDP for the whole economy, and then implement something that will more evenly distribute that. And I think that's workforce development, which is why I want to invest in it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Taylor.
I'm good. I saw this from during the, I think it was the budget when you presented it. Talked about my office.
Okay. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've seen this before. What I would like personally, what I would like to have, is I like to see the matrices separately so that I can understand, so I can read what you just showed me. And for the other circles, I would like to have them broken up. Again, this is for me personally, so I can understand. I was enheartened by the fact that when I did see what the Milwaukee Area Workforce Funding Alliance had done for the past few years, I could see once you opened up the circle that I could see for various sectors that there were placement numbers. I hadn't seen, or at least I didn't realize that before. I may have seen it, you may have shown it when during the first presentation in a very functory way, to the extent that I didn't realize that. Because my other question is with respect to the ready-to-work plan. That will sunset when?
The funding for that is at the end of January of 2014.
Of this year.
Right.
This coming year. Okay. So I can, given what you, when you blew up for the various sectors and you showed the placements, when you showed the placement numbers, I should say, mm-hmm. along with the partners, yeah, right there in the middle. Again, if I had seen that before, it didn't necessarily register. But once I see these things blown up and I see them in color on papers, I would like for you to send me such. Mm-hmm. Then I can have a better appreciation for what you're trying to do, particularly since WRTP has received this sector-based award, this award for their sector-based initiatives, because it wasn't just construction, and this has been told to us a number of times that they were looking at various sectors, various industries, as to training people and having them placed. And then from 2007 till beginning of 2013, I was a board member of LISC. And we did put on the, as an organization, put on the Mandy Awards. And for the Milwaukee Area Workforce Funding Alliance to receive a Mandy Award, I think it's very important that for what you're offering us, that we take a strong look at it, because I believe that is the way to go. One of the things I've, as a supervisor, I've had a problem with since I've been here is that there's a plantation mentality around here. I mean, we've got people who have left the area, which is fine, But on the other hand, there hasn't been a replacement of resources and tools by which people can improve that quality of life. So when we have a mission to look at self-sufficiency and eventually look at the quality of life of people in our county, there's been a gap. There's been a void somewhere. And so I appreciate what the Milwaukee Area Workforce Funding Alliance has been doing, and that I've seen the numbers. And I hope that with all these partners and with all the connections that we as Milwaukee County move toward helping the people who really need the help. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. Large gap here in Milwaukee. When I go back to some of my younger years, we had all the breweries, we had Continental Can, we had Alice Chalmers, we had all these manufacturing jobs that we no longer have. And I think that was really a really middle class that we prospered in Milwaukee. And seeing that, I would recommend, for whatever reason, but there's a really interesting article I thought. I like reading Crossroads, the Sunday section of the newspaper all the time. There's, you know, we always hear these things, well, are we going to be the next Detroit? There's a large article in the Sunday Crossroads talking about why we really are not moving to another Detroit. I think some of the things you're pointing out shows that. We're not another Detroit because of all the different, we do have some diversity and we do have some different factors. We're not reliant on one industry like Detroit was, the car industry, obviously. We lost some manufacturing. We still have some strong manufacturing. But we do have healthcare. We do have, which I like to point out, is the whole county grounds and the complex and our Park East and the other initiatives we have. We got a lot of very good things going for. We just follow what we've talked about today in economic development. And I know there's severe problems. I know about, you know, incarceration rates. I know high unemployment. And those are really factors that hurt our economy. But at least we have some kind of plan here to attack this workforce development. And, you know, the workforce development initiatives, a couple of my colleagues, I'll compliment going back a year. Now, I was never against workforce development. Oh, I never had that.
Okay. Yeah, all my wonderful words, too. You know, the big step, I think, and two of my colleagues have mentioned this today, you know, we look at other programs. Well, we want accountability. We want to make sure that the monies we use, because, you know, we spent a lot of money in these areas over the years, and a lot in workforce development, and, you know, I don't pretend to be the expert here. I'm not the spokesman on this, but I don't know if our monies were always the best used. We didn't seem, for the monies we put forward in so many of these areas, we didn't have the results. We didn't have the kind of statistics I see from Big Step, for example, in actually getting people employed. We spent a lot of money, but we didn't have a lot of bang for our buck. And that was the question I consistently asked in the last couple of budgets, and we did Big Step, and I said, well, $1 million, is this $1 million going to really be money we can really use? Should it be $500,000? I don't think any of us were against putting money into this. I think because we emphasize it, I did bother going, spending time there, talk to the directors, look at it, and follow up what's been going on. The fact that we've had, you know, partners working together now gives me confidence in this bigger picture here that we do have something going, and we do have a lot going. Look at UWM. Now, we got technology, we got healthcare, engineering. UWM just itself, that's one of the major proponents in this article that I'm kind of quoting from the Crossroads yesterday. UWM is a big player here. I've been a big UWM backer just because Madison is one who's been taking grants and patents and all these research monies all these many years. We have not been competitive in Milwaukee. Finally, we got a player here, UWM, and you talk about the big three. We're talking about water technology, okay? We're talking about health. We're talking about engineering and economic growth. All those big areas UWM is involved in, by the way. Health sciences, they're building down kind of downtown east side. We got the water technology going to Greenfield Avenue. We got the, you know, the innovation campus on the county grounds. These are big deals with Park East and other initiatives we got going. These are big deals. And the workforce development, I'm not trying to be clairvoyant or say, but I believe that was where we should go in the very beginning because we lose the manufacturing, then we have to develop other skills for our workforce so people can get jobs. Because most of these other jobs in the manufacturing, Continental Can, Alice Chalmers, were non-skilled jobs. Okay, now you had some training to run machines and things like this, but you could get those without college educations or advanced degrees. A lot of jobs these days, you got to have advanced degrees, advanced skills. It's just the way it is. And if we want to be competitive, that's the way we got to go. So if we look at high impact and low cost, and I was sold on this concept before, by the way, and it's just exciting. It is exciting for me to actually see some plans and some kind of actual game plan in partnering with other foundations. All our nonprofits, okay? Besides getting federal money and always leveraging state money, besides our local money here. So all these combinations we're talking about. So, this is an opportunity for us. And we have a game plan here a little bit instead of just talking about it to actually do something. So I don't mind being excited about it because I think it's great, especially putting more money into workforce development. Thank you.
Supervisor Bone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a couple of questions about the director's presentation. I guess some of the perspectives that are provided here. You do label, since you're on this screen, I'll stay on here. Can you zoom into that table? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Workforce Funding Alliance, which is an intermediary.
Table or the graph?
This one with the numbers.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm looking at this. This is the numbers of the Workforce Funding Alliance and all the programs that they fund. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So I guess the other elephant in the room is the ready-to-work program, and I'm comparing some of the numbers that I see here with those of the ready-to-work program. And it seems that there, if I look at 2012 and job seekers and the amount of people trained, it looks like the ready-to-work program is more extensive than what the Workforce Funding Alliance is doing.
Well, Chairman and Supervisors, the ready-to-work programs are part of these numbers. I mean, what you don't see here is the 2013 numbers where you've seen the accelerated parcel of that. But that kind of illustrates the point. We're already part of the Workforce Funding Alliance. We're just not cooperating, I guess is the best way to say it. And so when these tables are published, everybody takes credit for those 500 jobs. And there needs to be a better evaluation of how funding can be maximized to do that, because 500 jobs is phenomenal. I mean, it is incredible. It is a national model to do this, and it took most, if not all, of these partners to do that. And so we need to make sure that going forward, because we don't want to run into a circumstance where the Workforce Funding Alliance, because we're not a part of it, says, oh, okay, you know, construction manufacturing, that's going to be the county's thing. You know, they're going to fund it at $1 million every 2 years. We don't need to worry about that. Instead, we want to say, yes, we're interested in investing, particularly in the construction sector and other sectors. We want to be a part of your team, because there's going to have to be an evaluation done for 2014 when this program gets done. How much resources does WRTP need in order to continue to maintain their success? And there's one of two ways that conversation can happen, one of which is for us to have that conversation directly with WRTP and try to do that evaluation ourselves without the benefit of being part of a larger partnership. And that's the exact circumstance I want to avoid, is how do we continue to maintain the incredible work that WRTP has done and continue to see how we can replicate that work in other sectors. So my expectation is that if you carry these forward tables through 2013, these numbers will increase to reflect the investment that not only the county has made in WRTP Big Step, but all of the other partners have as well.
And I do follow you, but I'm looking at numbers that they had from last year in 2012, before last year. Just looking at the numbers of what they were doing, it seems that the size and investment that we had in the Ready to Work applied to more people than what they completed in 2012.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that you're looking at the same numbers, that number of 340 in 2012 probably included 150 workers from WRTP Big Step, which we helped fund and other job seekers funded as well. When you get to 2013, that number is probably, I don't want to project that number, but it's at least going to be, you know, what WRTP has done this year, which last time we looked at that number, it was about another 300 jobs. So the number will be higher for 2013. But this number includes the work of WRTP Big Step, a portion of which we have funded. And it also illustrates the point. We don't want to double count jobs. We don't want to think that the Funding Alliance and the county and everybody in 2012 funded 345 jobs plus another 200 jobs, because that's sending the wrong representation to financial partners and others. We want to make sure that we're being consistent in reporting these.
The other issue that I have is the breakdown of industries and that pie chart.
Yep.
And the percentage of construction located there is fairly small compared to the rest of the other industries. I guess if the Ready to Work program was focused on construction and manufacturing, I see a clear marriage in a way where the county supports an industry that we know is booming and is continuing to grow. You're looking at almost $1 billion in downtown alone, where things will be built and construction will be had, and continuing to have a program that focuses a majority of funds, or if you look at how much we spend, about $500,000 a year on the construction and manufacturing fields. Makes sense to me.
Supervisor, Chairwoman, yeah, it does. I mean, just to highlight it, with that projected growth in construction, that represents this piece of the pie, because this is the long-term employment projections that does not include retail. So these are non-retail sectors. And construction represents this component. Production represents this component, which is great. But then you look at other potential sectors in transportation, which is this section here. You look at personal care, and you add to that the healthcare slice. So even as big as construction is, there's these other major sectors that also, I mean, you look at family care, for example. We would benefit dramatically from people in family care being able to get a higher skill set to better service our clients and compete for higher wage jobs. That would be an excellent outcome. And right now we're not investing in those sectors. And it's also, again, that highway of opportunity is that if you look at WRTTV's numbers of 500 job placements, you know, is that going to be, you know, is that going to be the maximum of what that industry can maintain in 1 year? And, you know, do we need to make other investments to make sure that we're just not investing in one sector? There's only one group can do that analysis. I can't do it. I don't have the data because I don't know where the other funders are placing their money. I don't have all the data coming back into me from the other implementers. And so it's that comprehensive evaluation that we need to be a part of, and that's the suggestion here. Ultimately, I think we will, if you were to track our dollars going in, I would bet that a portion of it, a significant portion of it, continues to get invested into the construction sectors. But I also would anticipate that there are other county sectors that we're related to, primarily the medical sector, that our dollars might also be traced to. And I would also bet that when you start to trace those, you start to add on more dollars. And they're not our dollars because we've got other commitments we need to make. And my expectation is that this would not put any particular organization, including WRTP Big Step, at any sort of disadvantage. I don't anticipate that this change in structure results in less funds for WRTP Big Step. That's not the goal of this.
Well, I see our partnership with WRT Big Step as themselves as an intermediary doing good work in construction and manufacturing related sectors, and the Workforce Funding Alliance focusing on those other areas where I guess they have a larger stake in how those things grow as well. But I will also point out that I don't see any county departments that are part of the Workforce Funding Alliance, even though that we do have a large stake in health care, like family care and the Department of Aging, things of that nature.
Right, and that's exactly right. And right now we're not investing resources in those sectors for workforce development. And that's my hope, is that we can be able to. Here's the example. What if we had a WRTP Big Step in the medical sector that was able to place 500 low-skilled workers and get them the skill set they need? We don't have that yet.
We do have that. It's called the Workforce Funding Alliance.
But we don't have the sector. So, for example, Workforce Funding Alliance gets money to WRTP to be the sector-based intermediary for construction and manufacturing. That doesn't exist for healthcare. And wouldn't it be wonderful if it did, so that we had a systematic method to do that? And it's going to take the Workforce Funding Alliance to support that infrastructure. We couldn't, for example, at the county, develop that ourselves. We don't have the resources. We don't have the hiring pool to be able to do that. But it's an exciting opportunity.
Okay, and I know Supervisor Schmidt made a comment about investing more money, but at $400,000 a year that you're requesting, that would be less money than we invested before, correct?
Chairman and Supervisor, to be very clear, the expectation is we're requesting $400,000 out of the available funds this year, and we can continue to evaluate going that forward. And we're in a better position to do that if we know where our other funders are spending money and where we need to participate. It's important to understand, and this is a conflict from my department, I think we can make incredible use of the resources that you provide us, but a dollar to us is theoretically a dollar that's taken away from transit infrastructure that also serves low-income people to get them to jobs, takes away from family care, takes away from parks, you know, that also have a huge economic development impact. And so we're just trying to strike a balancing act. We think that balancing act this year is $400,000 that we can make effective use of. and then, you know, evaluate it and make determinations going forward.
Got you. And my last question is, you brought up in your presentation regulation versus decreased regulation versus increased regulation, which I think could be very broadly understood if it's a blanket term of regulation, even like Supervisor Rainey talked about, a residency requirement that has no cost implications but could be seen as increased regulation and therefore less competitive. I would see the implementation of living wage quite differently. I understand that you have initial costs that you're looking at, but the societal and community costs of individuals in poverty is provides a lot more cost that I would say compared to just the initial cost if you only are looking at the initial cost.
And I would just say I embrace the conversation looking at this. I mean, I think we share mission in addressing unemployment rates and poverty rates that are, you know, 50% for unemployment, you know, 36% for poverty. And we need to have an open and frank conversation of economic impacts of all of those so we have, you know, policy that you guys feel good with and that we can actually implement on the administrative. So I very much appreciate the opportunity to have the conversation and continue to have the conversation as you look at policy.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I hope committee members will allow the chair to ask a few questions as well. I will try not to be too long. But I found it interesting that both Supervisor Rainey and Supervisor Johnson used the idea of trickle-down and plantation mentality, because I think corporate America has concentrated poverty very much in the city as well as the county, while the outlying suburbs very much use the services provided by this county and don't pay for it. And a lot of what you presented here is corporate America's answer to their need for workforce development that they do not want to pay for. Mm-hmm. There's a great study called How to Lie with Statistics. You can use perfectly good statistics and take from it messages that are, in my opinion, not truthful. For example, using Chicago and Milwaukee as a reflection of two different statistics belies the point that we are a regional area, and we are becoming very much a regional area. And the one thing that I have learned, largely by city and county government, is that those who are impoverished are highly mobile. A lot of times we think that's just the opposite, that the wealthy are highly mobile. The wealthy take very nice vacations, but in terms of mobility, in terms of housing, homelessness, et cetera, it's truly the impoverished. So Milwaukee and Chicago are one and the same coin. They don't reflect different statistics. It's no surprise to me that Chicago has basically the same unemployment statistics for black males that Milwaukee does, because we are the same region. And this whole idea, you know, I think we could be a part of this workforce development initiative. It's a market sector approach, but government is not the same animal. We provide services, especially the way we're set up for our funding. We get property taxes. That is mainly what we here as board members have to account for. And I've even had some issues with funding Big Step, although I did so, because I don't know that that's part of the core mission of county. But when I see business groups like MMAC, who did not allow us to increase sales tax to pay for our cultural assets, and I looked at your art and entertainment sector, which is a fairly good part of that graph, that's something that this county is providing to the entire region, and yet how do we get to pay for it? We concentrate poverty, and we ask the most impoverished to pay for the larger sector. So Milwaukee County can be part of this workforce initiative without us putting $400,000 in it. I think we're one of the members in that circle that are receiving funding. I saw MATCs in that circle. I don't know why Milwaukee County shouldn't be in that circle, because corporations who are receiving infrastructure and who are receiving a lot of services for government don't want to pay for it themselves. And the corporate taxing structure has gone down while they still expect us to respond to every single need that is reflected not only in this county but the region. But Milwaukee County, concentrated poverty, is expected to pay for more of it than we should be expected to pay for. So that's part of the problem I have with this approach, this market sector corporate approach. I understand some of the intelligence of this, to get partners to cooperate. I think that's a good part. But to expect county government, who has a very limited funding source, to be part of the funding model, I think is a mistake. We are part of a lot of things in terms of services, but we should not be expected to put in my opinion, $400,000 when we've got all these other things. The foreclosure initiative, I like that one. I like creating that real estate model. It's a service from government. McCalmis is a service from government. But now to expect us to be part of this corporate model for funding, so we stop asking corporations to pay their fair share for infrastructure, I'm not so sure I'm on board with that. So thank you very much. I think this is, by the way, this is the place this should be presented in a committee, not during budget, but thank you for that piece. I see we have Supervisor Lipscomb. Did you want to ask any questions? Or Supervisor Haas was here. All right, so what is the committee's pleasure? Supervisor Rainey.
I'm gonna ask one more question now.
Yep.
Chairman and supervisors, yes, but for example, there's a change going on in the medical industry right now where as they're trying to maximize their resources as well, they're expecting a whole host of jobs to come up because right now, for example, nurses that are highly trained are also doing administrative work. You know, so for example, as those jobs get split out, you know, a lot of the data, the electronic data record stuff that's happening is really changing the medical industry. And there are strong partners, METC, for example, and others, that are doing the macro training. But what is not happening in the medical industry, which I think is an exciting opportunity, is when a medical partner, whether it's one of our family care providers, or whether it's a major hospital system, has a need to place an employee, a particular employee, who is the organization that they can reach out to say, you know, can you help find a person that has this particular skill set, work with them to design specific training for their work that are need, because these different hospital systems otherwise are going to change. Not everybody's going to follow the same skill set structure. So it represents a really good opportunity. So I hope that we can get to a place like we do for WRTP Big Step, that when you have a constituent or I have a neighbor or somebody that's looking for work, that we have a place to refer them to, and we can do that for certain individuals that are interested in construction and manufacturing. I can just say, go to 38th in Wisconsin. It's on two different bus routes. Go ahead and do that. For the medical sector, for the green technology sector, for a lot of these other sectors, we haven't built that infrastructure yet. So unfortunately, I can't give you a phone number for you to hand to a constituent to say, go here if you want a medical job. I hope to get to that point. I think we're years away from that point, but it's time to invest in that diversity of growth sectors. Chairman and supervisors, that's certainly my expectation. I mean, if you look at if you look at this sector, these are the sectors I'm interested in investing in because they're not retail service minimum wage jobs. You know, so you don't see food service on here, you don't see retail on here. That stuff takes care of itself. But these other higher skilled jobs is where we want to be at, and there's certainly good data to suggest the higher skill set you have, the more employable you are, the higher wages. I showed an earlier report where that difference was 29%. So you're talking about real wage increases. So that would be the expectation by focusing on high-skilled jobs.
Okay, let's get real good questions and start wrapping this up. We spent a lot of time, Supervisor Johnson, and then I'd like to know what the pleasure of the committee is.
Madam Chair, since you combined items 5 and 6, I move to approve the resolution under item number 6.
As presented.
As presented.
Supervisor Schmidt?
I was going to move to approve too, Madam Chair, and I want to state why, and I appreciate some of the comments you made, and I understand, you know, the poverty and the other issues we've talked about and the stresses on Milwaukee County supporting all these services and the rest of the communities, you know, looking not to put money in. I mean, we've got Waukesha, we've got Racine, we've got all these communities saying we're not going to put money into the stadium tax or the improvements, and yet there's no question that their constituency can take advantage of all the things that Milwaukee County has to pay for. Where I differ a little bit, and I'm sure we're probably, none of us, I think, are very far apart, is that we see so many things and so many programs and things we've talked about today that, you know, if we want private sector, if we want other nonprofit, we want other people to come to the table, we need to do seed money. And I think that $400,000 really is seed money. And we have all sorts of needs, as we talked about today. I guess so far we've agreed that, okay, we're prioritizing a couple other areas we went into. Maybe you disagree on this one. We put in $1 million before, but I always looked about, we talk about accountability. I think we've been accountable in this area. And we're on boards. I'll make my example on the museum, what's gone through, the public museum has gone through a lot of consternation over the years. Public-private idea, why should we pay for it? Why should we keep it? And but I just see people on boards who are many not in Milwaukee County, but they put substantial time and monies into these public institutions that we put some seed money. And I think when I go and when I talk to people in these groups, if they see Milwaukee County is invested, you know, they'd like to see us do more probably, but, you know, putting some kind of fair share in, then I think it encourages, I think this is what, you know, maybe people don't agree with, but I've been always very big on public-private partnerships. It's the only way to work. Government cannot fund all these things to the level we want to see. I don't care what area you're talking about. So this is why I'm fairly adamant about, I think, that we need to put money into workforce development. We have to show the other components here that it is a serious priority for us in that. So that's why I'm, again, in all these areas, I think, adamant we need to do something here. We're looking about accountability. We're looking about bringing other partners in, but we need to take a step. And maybe we don't disagree that much, but I really much for approval, too. Thank you.
Any other questions on the resolution? Supervisor Vaughn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. looking at this plan to, I guess, invest in workforce development, I think it's safe to say we're lowering the standard of what we did with the Ready to Work program and not supporting workforce development to the same level, even funding-wise, that we did before. If there could be more clarity as far as how these funds going through intermediary? Mm-hmm. I say it right?
Okay. Very good.
All right, intermediary. To fund another
intermediary.
There we go. That might make me more supportive. At this point, I can't support this motion right now, and I guess I'll motion for layover so I can better understand and see how it impacts the direction of the county having a role to support manufacturing and construction fields and sectors, because it does not seem like the workforce development or the workforce funding alliance is doing it to the same degree. So I guess that'll just be my motion for now.
You're making a motion for layover?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question.
Next session, to the next month.
What is required for Milwaukee County in terms of contribution to become part of this alliance?
Madam Chairwoman and Supervisors, zero. I think the same way that we make smaller dollar amount investments to the tune of $5,000 to $10,000 to, you know, visit Milwaukee railroad corridors. I mean, their numbers are even higher, $20,000-$25,000. That out of our administration membership budget, without impacting any other of our memberships, we may make a $5,000 to $10,000 contribution this way. And this way, the full $400,000 goes in the Workforce Funding Alliance. Where, and the reason to get to your numbers is part of it is we're paying currently $50,000 to have a third-party auditor look at our unicorn model and make sure it's complying. We can take that administrative cost out of the stream. Also, if you were to approve this now, we would be implementing it as of February of next year, which is an 11-month process. Divided by $400,000 gets you close to the $50,000 a month that you have invested. If you wait to lay this over, the next time you have the opportunity to look at this is now February of 2014, and we will be delaying our participation in the Workforce Funding Alliance. We really wanted to have this done as part of the earlier budget process, which is why I presented to Finance. There's strategic planning going on now with the Workforce Funding Alliance, where we're kind of on the sidelines because our money's not there, and we can go there as a partner and say we want to do this, that, and the other thing, but we're really not aligned to the work that they're doing. So my hope was that you could sign off on this so we could be an investor in that partnership, because I believe the number is last year they leveraged $12.6 million of other funds. And right now, our partners that we're investing have limited access to that because the funding, you know, we're funding it directly out of our own pockets rather than these larger partnerships. So I don't want to wait. I mean, we've had this plan in the works for a while. This is our sort of third time on an agenda to present it, and I'm anxious to get going. And if this turns out to have some kind of detrimental impact on the previous programming that we have, certainly we'll have a partner to help us evaluate that and do that. But that's furthest from the expectation. I mean, it's leveraging other funds, better accountability, better data, more sustainable, to be able to go out and get more funders is really the point of this.
So all of the funding go to the implementation circle. Could you bring that back up again?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Yes, Supervisor Bowen. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
No problem. I mean, there are points about having an outside firm for $50,000 audit the program. We could just have our own Department of Audit the Ready to Work program. If that's the case, I think you're also making a point about leveraging funds. There was no effort to leverage funds of the Ready to Work program. So I just, this double standard that I'm seeing of just moving fast on a plan created in the administration just has, you know, it just hits the ground running. But when it comes to something that this board passes in budget and implements, you know, even if it is a unicorn model, the unicorn model works.
Don't
so I'm getting, I'm trying to.
Don't use his analogy. We can call it focused. We'll call
point.
It a focused.
Well, and if I could just say, it's I'll own that unicorn model. I don't want to attach that to the work that the board does. It's because of exactly the things that you said. We didn't look at opportunities for leveraging. We didn't look at opportunities to, you know, have a uniform data model. So I'll own that unicorn. I'm just saying I don't want to follow that process anymore. I want to leverage. I want to make up for some of these other issues.
All right.
So I did not mean to be derogatory.
Supervisor, motion is layover. The one other question about the implementation piece, I mean, MATC is up there as one of the implementation pieces. They have a line on the property tax bill, as does Milwaukee County. In a way, that will be misleading because Milwaukee County is taking some of its property tax dollars and putting it in MATC, if you will. It may be a small amount, but my point is Milwaukee County belongs in that circle. We've got the House of Correction that does training. You have the Parks Department that does a lot of training, takes youth members. And you answered that we can become a member without putting more property tax dollars in it. Big Step has gotten property tax dollars from us, but they themselves don't have a line on the property tax bill. That's the point I was making when I suggested that maybe we have a role to play. But you're asking for every last penny of the $400,000 that's left in this fund now. And I have some concern about that.
And if I can just clarify a few things. The instruction of our funds, the Workforce Funding Alliance, is to invest in sector-based intermediaries that are following growth industries. So MATC fills a very, very different role in the economic development ecosystem, which is macro-level training. Junior Achievement does financial literacy. So I'm not suggesting, although they're very worthwhile investments, I'm not suggesting, because there are other partners that are doing that, I'm suggesting we're investing in sector-based intermediary with that funding source. And I think this whole $400,000 conversation is, and it's the last of the funds, is just a matter of on the agenda. I mean, if you look at, you know, our priorities as a department and the way that they are funded, this would be our first $400,000. So we strongly believe this as an impact on poverty in Milwaukee County.
Supervisor Lipscomb, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize. I missed the beginning of the presentation. I've never had a problem with us being part of the Workforce Funding Alliance. I sat down with them at the execs urging back in the early implementation of Ready to Work. I'm not sure why they sort of never followed through with that participation or integrated it. I'm assuming it was sort of a capacity thing. So I'm not opposed to that. I guess I've always been hesitant to turn our money over to them and in a fashion that I don't believe that the other partners are doing. I don't think that they're turning it over to them to have them distribute it. They're a part of the process, and they make their investment decision, you know, as they go along. And that I'm having trouble articulating this a little bit, but it seems to me that nothing stops us from participating in the alliance, and at a future point, you know, from the information we get, from the information we share with them, and the information that we get back, that we would make our investment decision, whether that's WRTB Big Step, whether it's another organization that comes to us through the alliance. I'm certainly open to that. I do want to just clarify that all of our investment, previous and this investment, is proceeds from land sales. So there has actually not been any property tax investment in workforce development, but it's still money. It still has the same value. So
well, except. Really, our funding source is property taxes. We have assets called land, which may have actually been purchased at one time by the county with our one source of funding, which is property taxes. So I think that's a circular argument. But
okay.
I would like to get to the motion before us, which is layover. Mr. Wiley-Smith, is there a director of this organization? Is there a person that could come and respond to future questions if we do a layover?
So we had at the Finance Committee Gil Yanis, who is the president of their advisory committee, and Karen Gotzler, who is the consultant. Right now they're going through a strategic planning process. So what Supervisor Lipscomb mentioned is the mechanism that was sort of proposed there are called restricted aligned funds. But that's a model that we're trying to move away from in favor of pooled resources. And I'm sorry, the computer died here, but that is the model that we're headed towards. And I would just say it's important to balance policy with administrative implementation. And I was not here during the implementation of this previously, but it was complicated, to say the least. And we have to balance between what the administrative can handle on the administration side and for us to function. So I think we agree on the policy side of things that we want to invest in workforce development. I hope that you would provide some ability to us as administrators to implement that appropriately. If there's some policy decision that you want it worded differently, other than sector-based intermediaries and growth sectors, I would hope that that would be the focus of the conversation so that we can go out and implement that policy rather than the administrative process that we use to implement it.
Okay. On the layover, any other comments on the layover? Otherwise, we'll call a roll on.
May I?
Yes, please.
Item 6, from the Director of County Economic Development, Department of Administrative Services, requesting authorization to create a 2014 Workforce Development Investment using $400,000 of the 2014 Economic Development Fund.
Please call the roll.
On the motion to lay over item 6, Supervisors Bowen.
Aye.
Schmidt.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Taylor.
No.
Rainey.
No.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
There are 2 ayes, 4 noes. The motion to lay over item 6 has failed.
All right. The motion layover has failed. There's a motion for approval of the resolution, I think, by Supervisor Johnson, was it?
Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Yeah. Supervisor Johnson moves to approve.
Yep. All right. And that motion was already on the table. So. Mm-hmm. Yes. Any further discussion about the motion to approve the resolution? Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Supervisors Bowen.
No.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
No.
There are 4 ayes, 2 noes. The motion to approve item 6 is approved.
All right, thank you. We spent a lot of time on both 5 and 6. Moving on to item 7. Madam Clerk, please call item 7.